planted a bomb? Delaney sat and stared at him in silence for several long moments, his normally cheerful face looking pensive, almost mournful. At last he got up from the flimsy chair. "Take care of yourself, Harry. I gotta get back out to Mojave, help with the investigation."
"Thanks for coming by, Monk."
"Nothing to it." Delaney stopped at the door. "Anything I can get you, Harry? Anything you need?"
"My laptop," Harry answered immediately. "I'll go nuts in here without my laptop to work on."
"You got it, pal." It wasn't until after Delaney had left that Harry wondered when Sylvia would be allowed to visit him. He found that he didn't really care when she came, or if she came at all, and he realized he wasn't surprised by his feeling. Pasadena, Anson Aerospace Corporation Headquarters. Victor Anson sat behind the gleaming broad desk of his private office and gave the three men sitting anxiously on the other side his coldest, hardest stare. Anson was totally bald, but sported a natty little pencil mustache. He was athletically slim and wore an impeccably tailored Italian silk suit of silvery gray with an off-white shirt and carefully knotted sky-blue tie. Two of the men before him were corporate executives in proper business suits and ties. The third was Jake Levy, one of his top physicists, dressed in sloppy, unpressed slacks and a white, open-necked, short-sleeved sports shirt. Typical scientist, Anson thought. Every day is casual Friday for them. At least Levy knew better than to wear denims in his presence, Anson told himself. Looking closer at the physicist, Anson saw that his left eye was swollen and bruised bluish. The man looked faintly ludicrous. Anson had to suppress a smile. Anson had made the company what it was, and he knew it. Starting with nothing but his father's few millions and a humdrum aircraft repair operation, Victor Anson had spent his life, his well-known shrewdness, and his single-minded determination to create Anson Aerospace Corporation and make it into one of the most successful industrial research and development organizations on Earth. Now he glared across his desk at the man whom he'd trusted to make that goddamned laser into a winner. All he had to show for 6 years of work was a tangled mess of smoking wreckage. "You realize that SDB has already submitted a formal proposal to the Air Force for their version of a high-powered laser?" Before they could do anything more than nod miserably, Anson went on. "And Vickers has its whole Washington team bending the ears of every major congressional committee chairman, telling them that they can take over the laser program. Vickers! They're British, for God's sake!" Jacob Levy, who'd been born in Liverpool, replied in his studied Oxford accent. "Vickers couldn't possibly handle the task, and everyone knows it."
"Those congressmen don't," Anson snapped. "Those senators don't."
The two men sitting on either side of Levy were James Dykes, the corporation's chief financial officer, and Milton Haas, who headed Anson's Washington office. Dykes was built like a fireplug, thick torso, short limbs, a thick mop of dirty blonde hair. Haas was as slim and graceful as a ballerina, with the most beautiful dark eyes Anson had ever seen on a man.
"It's not all that bad, VR," said Dykes, his voice rough and throaty as if he'd been hollering at people all morning. "Our contract isn't up for renewal until... The goddamned Air Force can cancel